Chapter 12, Wednesday, April 13th, 0011, New Era, 0510 hours. Beacon had never felt so tired. He had never felt so out of it. As his eyes squinted and opened, a cold head rush washed across his brain. What time was it? He had no idea. He knew it must have been early still. The windowless room was still dim. His head rang. He could hear the constant tone assault his ears. Russia? Why the hell were they in Russia? It felt like a dream, and for a moment he wondered if it might have been. No, it was real. Yesterday really did happen, and today he was halfway across the globe. He muttered under his breath as he pressed a palm against his forehead. He knew he was out of it. He could feel it in his equilibrium. It felt as if he had just awoken from a merry-go-round. He continued to squint between partially opened eyes. It was painful. God, he felt like a miserable dog. He felt cold. None of them had been given the chance to warm themselves before they snuck into bed, and now it showed.
No bloody showers. Don't want to wake up the bloody Russians, do we?
His palm pressed harder into his forehead as he clenched his teeth.
Bollocks! I'm taking me bloody shower. Drag him to hell.
Still groggy-eyed and disoriented, Beacon twisted over to the side of the bed and set his feet on the floor. It was frigid. It was absolutely frigid. He drew in a breath and pushed up. He could hear the constant tone in his head still. It was as if this were a hangover that had nothing to do with alcohol. It was a sleepover. He grumbled at the thought of the word as he stumbled forward and to the showers.
Trashing Russians. Trashing Russians in their stupid trashing barracks.
One foot in front of the other, one heavy thump forward after the next. His vision was blurry. The tone in his ears still rang.
Trashing Russians.
He reached forward with reckless abandon and whisked open the curtain. She whipped her wet head around as soon as the curtains exposed her. Her eyes shot open as the downpour of water plastered her golden locks to the sides of her face. Beacon backpedaled and stumbled onto the floor in an explosion of thumps and bangs. Scott jolted up from his bed as the shower curtain was yanked shut.
What in the world?
Several others had leapt up around him, and he focused his attention to the floor, where Beacon was a tangled mess.
Decided to take a bloody shower.
Scott gaped across at the showers in time to see a green towel jerk down from behind the shower stall. Russian words were mumbled out loud from farther back in the room. The woman behind the curtain yelled something back as the showerhead twisted off. What time was it? Everything felt like a blur. Seconds ago, Scott had been off in some distant dream, none of which he could remember now. And now, crashing, yelling, people suddenly rousing all over. It was too early for this. Was it too early for this?
God.
Beacon said as he staggered to a stand.
Top of the morning to yous.
Scott blinked as a woman dressed only in undergarments stormed out from behind the shower. A towel whisked through her wet hair as she glared at Beacon, and Russian fury poured from her mouth. Before she could finish her spiel, a male voice farther back in the room cut her off.
Speak English, you commies.
The Richmond transfers cringed as an overhead light flicked on, and various men and women slid out of their bunks. They made their way toward a long closet that ran along the wall opposite the showers. Scott droned in his morning deep voice.
What's going on?
I think we just woke up.
Were we supposed to wake up?
I want to sleep.
Scott's attention returned to Beacon.
What in the world were you doing?
Nothing. Don't get your knickers in a twist.
How do you do, gentlemen?
The new voice came from directly behind them. Scott, David, and Beacon turned to face it, where they found a brown-haired man dressed in an officer's uniform. After a brief moment of scrutiny, Scott saw that he was a captain. The captain offered a courteous smile as he trained his eyes on Jaden's bunk, where the Texan was still completely beneath the covers.
Hey!
Beacon jerked the covers from atop Jaden.
Get up!
Jaden mumbled something inaudible, then raised his head. When he saw the captain, he briskly sat upright.
Sorry, it looks like you've all had a rough night. You needn't beetle around the room getting organized, but do get showered and get into uniform as soon as you're able. When you've finished, please join us through that door.
He pointed to a door along the back wall where several Russian operatives were already passing through. The four transfers nodded as the captain excused himself and made his own way through the indicated doorway. By the time they had woken up, taken showers, and donned their uniforms, they were the only four left in the bunk room. Everyone else had passed through the indicated door. As soon as Scott stepped through it, he realized what it was. It was a small lounge, complete with a culinary counter and several tables, all of which had a full complement of occupied chairs. The mingled smell of tea and coffee floated through the air as conversation in both English and Russian bustled, accompanied by an occasional burst of laughter. Scott noticed right away that there were no other doors in the room. It must have been specifically designed for this unit. He wondered if every unit had its own lounge. They stood in the doorway for several moments before the captain noticed them.
I see you've finally got up and about then. Welcome to the lounge. While you're in here, there's no need for formalities. We wouldn't survive without a casual atmosphere once in a while.
Scott nodded, and he and his comrades assumed more at-ease postures. Scott allowed his eyes to scan the operatives clustered around the tables. Smiles were few and far between. Most of their expressions were blank, with the captain a rare exception. The only other familiar face belonged to the blonde-haired woman from the shower, whose pointed glare narrowed at Beacon. The captain continued,
I'm sorry, you four must be zonked out. I'll go ahead and explain to you why you're here. Just to be certain, you are David Jurgen, Beckon McRae, Scott Remington, and Jaden Timmons, correct?
They nodded.
As you may or may not be aware, Command are in the process of restocking our base. A few units, ourselves included, have received entirely new sections in addition to the personnel already in place. You're ours. I apologize that your transfer seems to have come in quite the inconvenient manner for you, but you're here, and that's all that matters now.
He motioned his head to the nearest table of operatives.
I suppose introductions are in order.
Introductions. A whole new unit. Scott had just become comfortable with everyone back in Charlie's squad.
At my right is Gamma Private Fox Powers, our only resident sniper until now.
Scott glanced toward Fox. He was a tanned, black-haired individual. His expression was stoic, yet not uninviting. He fit as a sniper.
Technician and Delta Trooper Matthew Axon, otherwise known as Max.
Scott's attention swung to Max. He was a taller American with short, dirty blonde hair, complemented by a thick brush of 5 o'clock shadow. There was something else that stood out about him, though. His eyes. They locked onto Scott with a pointed stare. More than a stare. Almost angered. Before Scott could scrutinize it further, Clark went on.
Delta Trooper Travis Navarro, our pilot.
Travis. There was an amiable look to Travis. It was an ordinary look. Brown hair, brown eyes, not overly handsome or repulsive. Ordinary. The pilot smiled and tipped his head.
And Beta Private Kevin Carpenter.
Another average-looking, somewhat smaller man.
At the next table is Commander Ivan Baranov, our second in command.
There came the change. Baranov was massive. Larger than General Thor. His dark crew cut was trimmed to perfection. It was completely militant. There was another distinct feature about him. His uniform. It was different. It was dark, almost free of emblems, except for a red triangle. A nightman. Baranov nodded as Clark continued.
Lieutenant Yuri Dostoyevsky?
Smaller, but just as militant as Baranov. Maybe more so. His eyes stood out. They were blue, yet they pierced toward the transfers with bridled fury. Not toward the transfers. Toward Scott. Dostoyevsky, too, was a nightman.
Lieutenant Anatoly Novikov, our head technician?
Less stout than the previous two Russian officers. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, handsome. Another nightman. The three officers beneath the captain, all nightmen. Scott looked around at the other tables. Everyone else was standard Eden.
Beta Private Konstantin Makarovich, otherwise known as Kostya.
Scott watched Kostya. He was young. Younger than... Was he younger than Jaden? Kostya smiled as he waved.
And Beta Private Boris Eftiv, our final technician.
There were three technicians in the unit. That was different from Charlie. This unit was more versatile, perhaps all-purpose. Boris tipped his mop of curly black hair to them as the captain directed to the final table.
And at our very last table are the three women you don't want to see, because if you do, that means something's gone gammy.
He nodded to the first woman. It was the blonde-haired woman from before, the one from the shower.
We have Delta Trooper Svetlana Voronova, our chief medic.
She was beautiful. Despite the daggers in her eyes, her body was gracefully athletic, and her cascade of golden blonde hair fell damply to her shoulders. As soon as she was mentioned, Dostoevsky murmured in her direction. The men around him chuckled.
Zatknes,
she spat back. The captain went on.
And her medical staff, Gamma Private Galina Lebesheva?
Galina seemed the oldest of the three women. She might have been as old as David. Her hair was shorter, almost butch. Definitely butch, but her body was toned. She smiled cordially, but was otherwise uninspirational.
And Beta Private Varvara Yudina?
Varvara had blonde hair as well, though slightly longer and slightly darker than Svetlana's. And unlike Svetlana's shoulder-length bob, Varvara's hair was curly. As she smiled, two minuscule dimples emerged from her cheeks. Scott tilted his head and grinned. She really smiled. No daggers, no cordiality. Genuine. He liked her already. The captain stood abrupt.
And I am Captain Nathan Clark, your commanding officer. We make up the 14th. When we asked for additional operatives, I must admit I was slightly concerned when I heard they were sending us men not even a month out of the academy. But when I looked at your records and what you did in Chicago, I was most impressed.
Clark's focus shifted to Scott.
Congratulations on your promotion to Gamma Private, and for the Golden Lion. I know that's only a medal, but, well, it's never been earned like this before. We're going to expect a lot out of you, out of all of you. You've all earned excellent marks from your superiors at Richmond. Now, I know Remington from the news. Who else is who?
David, Beacon, and Jaden briefly introduced themselves. They were met with continued apathy from the tables. Aside from a handful, Clark, Travis, Varvara, perhaps one or two others, it was a relatively cold reception.
Welcome to the 14th. There are a few things I still need to discuss with you, so I'll go ahead and tend to that right now. The rest of you may go about your business,
he said to the other operatives.
We won't hold a session this morning.
A sporadic round of affirmations murmured forth as the operatives rose and filed out of the room. Several of them nodded in departure to the four transfers. Most just walked by without acknowledging them. After several moments, the lounge was clear. Clark waited several seconds before he stepped to the door, closed it, and sighed.
That was a giggle.
He smiled half-heartedly and meandered to one of the tables.
Have a seat, please.
They joined him as he sat down.
I'm sorry, I wish I could say that your arrival here will be a fantastic opportunity for you, but I'm not sure that'd be entirely honest. Any rumors you've heard about Novosibirsk are probably true. This place is a hellhole, and a tense one at that.
Scott was puzzled. This was different. The atmosphere shifted from the confines of the military to the casual sensation of a fireside chat.
I'm sure you were given a proper greeting when you first arrived.
A proper greeting? He had to be talking about the general meeting them on the airstrip. How did he know about that?
Do you mean General Thor, sir?
Yes, General Thor. He personally meets every individual who sets foot on this base, he and his nightmen.
David spoke up for the first time.
I thought the Nightmen were disbanded years ago. Why are they working with Eden?
The Nightmen aren't working for Eden. They never have, and they never will. They officially don't even exist, but they're still here. When Novosibirsk opened her doors, a lot of Nightmen flocked here to sign up. Thor was already well known in the Nightman circuit, so when he got the role of general, it was added incentive to join. Make no mistake, this base may be owned by Eden, but it's run by the Nightmen.
Why doesn't Eden stop it?
Because Thor is too effective to risk losing. And they know he wouldn't readily give up Novosibirsk without a fight.
Without a fight? Was Thor an Eden general or a madman?
You mean to tell me he'd fight Eden?
Abso-bloody-lutely. But that will never happen. He stays within Eden guidelines just enough to keep command out of his business. They're not going to risk losing Novosibirsk over which uniform he and his men decide to wear.
Scott shot a look in the direction of the lounge door, still closed. He couldn't help but wonder if all new arrivals got this conversation.
How many Nightmen are there, sir?
This facility has slightly over 10,000 operatives. I'd say about 3,000 of those are former Nightmen.
That's only a third.
That third is in command. That's how this place is run, with key Nightmen in key positions. Just look at this unit, Ivan, Yuri and Anatoly, the other three officers. They're loyal to my command, but they're dead loyal to Thor's. They're great men, though, especially Ivan. I couldn't ask for a better executive officer. Nonetheless, they are Nightmen.
As far as Scott knew, most Nightmen were Russian. But not Thor. His voice had been something different. If Clark was in the mood to dish out answers, Scott was going to ask questions.
Thor's not Russian, is he?
No, he's not. And if you're thinking that most Nightmen are Russian, you're correct. I would estimate that over 95% of them are. Thor is Dutch. He was known as the Terror of Amsterdam before he came to Novosibirsk. As far as how he became a leader in the Nightmen sect, if you knew him well enough, you'd understand. He's a formidable leader. He's heartless, treacherous, merciless, but formidable. He's got the mentality for it. All of the Nightmen are that way. That's why they're so effective. The Nightmen are trained like no one else I've seen, and it shows.
Clark smiled.
As much as I enjoy being interrogated, I did want to go over a few things with you. Morning call is at 6 o'clock, and we usually start in here. Tea and coffee are always here if you need them. By 7, we're out of the door for our morning routine. We usually run several kilometers in the training center as a unit, though sometimes we swim laps. Whatever I decide at the time, really. At 1700 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we meet in the gymnasium for a group workout in the form of weightlifting, free sparring, or something of the sort. You're free to use the gymnasium as often as you'd like on your own time, and though I don't demand it, I highly encourage it. There's a strict curfew at 2100. Everyone is to be in his or her room by then, preferably sleeping, though the back room is always open for coffee or a late-night chinwag if sleep is evasive. And, as I'm sure you've discovered...
He grinned and glanced to Beacon.
We've got 3 showers in the main room.
Beacon folded his arms across his chest and looked down.
You probably aren't accustomed to showering right next to everyone as they sleep, but you'll adjust. There's no set time for showering.
No one spoke, and Clark pushed back his chair and stood.
That's all I wanted to talk about. You gentlemen are free to go about your business until 1700. I'm going to make my way to the cafeteria for some breakfast. You're more than welcome to come if you like. You should have privacy here for another 30 minutes or so when people start filing back in from breakfast.
Scott rose after Clark with the others and watched as the captain meandered to the door. This was the strangest military introduction he had ever been a part of. It was completely casual and completely uncalled for. It was enough to commit him to one last question.
Sir?
Clark stopped and turned back to the table.
Why did you tell us all this?
David, Beacon, and Jaden all looked at Scott, then turned to Clark. That very same question lingered on all their expressions. Clark scrutinized Scott for a moment before he offered a half-hearted smile.
It's because you're new here. You haven't been tainted yet, and I suppose I want to influence you as much as possible before they do.
Again, silence pervaded the room. They? The Nightmen? Before Scott could think further, Clark said,
Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to tuck into some breakfast. Cheerio.
Scott watched him leave the room. No more explanations were offered. The lounge door eased shut behind Clark, and they were alone for the first time since they had arrived on the transport from Richmond. They remained in the lounge for another minute, though said little. They then filed out of the room, retrieved their duffel bags, and set up their bunks for permanent residence. They finished their acclimation to room 14 by 07:30, at which point they ventured out together in search of the cafeteria. The sun had risen 2 hours earlier, though no sunlight shone on the ground. The sky was blanketed in funereal gray. The earth was saturated with wetness from the previous night's storm. The air was frigid. There were few trees on the outskirts of the base, and it seemed to Scott that Novosibirsk was in the middle of an epic expanse of nothing, only snow-covered hills and fields. The cafeteria was bustling when they arrived. Men and sporadic women lined up to receive their meals, colorless, pale trays in their hands, as they anticipated cold servings from uninspired attendants. Nobody looked familiar. During the time from when Scott took his tray to when he received his meal, he saw no one from the 14th in the cafeteria. Smiles were sparse, though they were there. All of the conversation he took in was in Russian, or at least some language other than English. As they weaved through the cafeteria in search of a place to sit, one table in particular caught Scott's eye. It stood out for a reason he didn't expect. At it sat a black man. He was the only black man in the entire cafeteria. Directly across from him sat a giant of a soldier. There were no others with him. Their postures were casual, relaxed. As they talked, their gestures swayed in familiar patterns. From his distance, Scott couldn't make out what they were saying. He didn't need to.
Americans. Americans, over there. They've gotta be.
How can you tell?
Scott offered no explanation. He altered his direction for their table, and the other three followed. The black man and the giant turned to face them as soon as they neared.
Mind if we sit down?
The larger man looked surprised, and a broad smile painted itself across the black man's face.
USA?
USA. And looking for more.
We've got two more right here.
The black man said as he gestured for them to sit.
Joe Jansen. My friend here is William Harbinger.
As Scott sat down, he sized up William. The guy was huge. His hands were like boxing gloves, and his frame was as wide as a door. Harbinger was an appropriate moniker. Scott introduced himself, and David, Beacon, and Jaden followed suit. William flashed a broad grin.
So, y'all new here?
It's that easy to tell?
Nobody else is that friendly. Where are y'all from?
Richmond. Got here last night.
We've been here about a month. We were both stationed in Atlanta for about 3 days before they shipped us out here. Had one mission in Atlanta on our second day. They get rid of us the day after.
Had enough of us, I guess. What are you guys, soldiers?
Soldiers and a sniper. What about you?
Soldier.
Scout.
A scout? The pride of the academy, known for their acrobatics and their ability to crawl through small spaces? William, the Harbinger? Scott's eyes narrowed with scrutiny.
Yeah, he's a scout. He's a scout like I'm an Athene.
Demolitionist.
That's more like it.
He liked them already. Easygoing, conversational, and not equipped with the cold shoulder that seemed standard on Russian personnel.
So, what's it like here? You've been here a month? Any action?
We went out once. About 2 weeks ago, I guess. Back my cruiser got shot down about 100 miles south of here, so they sent our team in after it. That's what got us up to Beta. Haven't seen any Ceratopians. Not here or in Atlanta.
We haven't either. We did go on a little bug hunt, though.
Joe's expression widened.
One of the worst experiences of my life.
That's what got y'all into Beta?
No. That was Chicago. For most of us, anyway.
Oh, man! You guys were there for Chicago! That made the news everywhere!
Before anyone else could comment, Joe's eyes shot wide. He stared at Scott and perked upright.
Oh, Vec.
What?
I knew you.
Scott knew what Joe was talking about immediately. Fame had followed him to Russia.
Come on, Will. You know.
Oh, Vec!
This is the Golden Lion guy.
Yeah, the Golden Lion.
Scott feigned a smile as he acknowledged with a nod. There it was again. The Golden Lion.
God was watching over me. I had nothing to do with it.
He cringed inwardly. What an automatic answer. Did he mean it?
Man, if you and God are that close, I want me and you to be good friends.
Seriously, there was nothing special. Anyone could have done it.
Anyone could have done it? That was a lie. He had known what he was doing. He had known that it would work.
What unit are you guys in?
The 8th. One of the bigger units here. I mean, in physical size, not... size. I mean, we... in the unit are bigger people than those in other units.
Will's a little slow.
Shut up!
He's right, though. We're a pretty big group. Got 5 demos. No mystery what we're made to do.
Blow junk up!
How many are in the 8th?
18. Most of them 8 already. I'd introduce you to some if they're around.
William pointed across the room.
There's Cole right there.
Scott followed William's gesture across the room, where an average-sized man with jet-black hair strode toward their table. He looked scruffy. A patch of black hair under his chin formed an off-centered goatee. barely off, but definitely off, to the left. God, that was going to drive Scott crazy. Joe smiled as the man approached.
That's Derek Cole, another one of our soldiers. He's American, as southern country as you can get.
David grinned at William.
I don't know. You sound pretty southern.
No, see, I'm southern. Cole is a hick.
Cole smiled as he lowered himself into a chair next to Joe.
Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
Scott smiled. Will was right. Cole had the longest drawl he had ever heard. His voice was deep, like a bass. But that goatee, God, how did that happen?
Go, 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 go!
Shut up, Harbinger.
Hey, man, come on. Don't do that.
They misspelled Big Will's name on his graduate paper from the academy. Put Harbinger instead of Harbinger. Even his name badge is misspelled.
It's not funny.
Cole laughed, then lowered his head in silence. Again, Scott smiled. Prayer before eating. Good. Suddenly, Scott's smile faded. He had forgotten to pray for his own meal. Beacon glanced at Cole's tray. It was piled with what appeared to be the Novosibirsk equivalent of chili and beans, or something of the gaseous persuasion.
Hell of a bloody breakfast, eh?
Derek likes anything that makes him fart.
Your mama likes anything that makes her fart.
Joe nodded at Scott and his comrades.
They just came in from Richmond.
This is definitely a step down from there. What unit y'all in?
14th.
Oh, that's what's-his-faces.
Clark.
Yeah, Clark.
That's one of the general's favorite units. They get a lot of good calls. I don't know if it has anything to do with Clark. Sometimes they get to go on missions and others don't.
It's because of the nightmen in it.
Y'all got a good commander.
William smiled.
Yeah, Ivan's a tank, but he's a good guy, too. Can't say that about many nightmen.
What makes the nightmen so bad?
Brutal. He knew they were that. But every military organization had some level of brutality.
Do you know what you have to do to become a nightman?
No,
Scott answered as he looked around the table. The others, too, wore uninformed expressions.
Gotta tell him now.
You have to kill somebody.
Soldiers kill all the time.
No, not aliens or anything like that. You have to kill someone here.
You have to murder someone?
Shh. We're not supposed to know that. Although everybody knows it. It's just that nobody talks about it.
You've been here a month and you know it already. That's not that good of a secret.
We only know it because someone in our unit told us.
Was he a nightman?
Hell no. You ask a nightman about that, and you're likely to get killed yourself.
Wait, let me get this straight. You have to murder someone to become a nightman?
It's like one of their rites of passage or something. They call it the murder rule. The last step.
But why?
Sell your soul, I guess. If you kill someone in cold blood for them, you'll probably do anything for them. That's what they want.
Wait a second. How the hell can they do that? Eden's got to know about this.
That's Novosibirsk. The exception to the rules. Eden just looks the other way.
This place is Thor's little empire. Eden doesn't care what he does, as long as he does it good.
Guys, let's change the subject.
Yeah, best not to talk about it here. We don't know much more anyhow.
Scott didn't want to change the subject, and by the looks of everyone else, neither did they. Even Jaden, silent on the far end, looked engrossed. William slid his glass of water to the side.
You guys are going to Freespar today.
Whether he liked it or not, the subject was changing. Scott said nothing, though he had a dozen questions on his mind.
It's Wednesday, and the 14th always spars on Wednesday.
How do you know this?
Because of Ivan. The guy is a tank. Everyone goes there to watch him.
Actually, they go to watch whoever he ends up beating to death.
It's rarely a good fight. Except when that other Russian guy in your unit fights him. I don't know his name. Then it's good.
He had to be talking about one of the lieutenants. Unless he was talking about Boris, the technician. Somehow Scott doubted that.
You guys are in for it if you have to fight Ivan. You ever fight a guy back in the academy by the name
of... Captain Williams?
Yeah. You fought Captain Williams too?
I think everyone fought Captain Williams.
Well, if you couldn't handle Williams, there's no way you're gonna handle Ivan.
Could you handle Williams?
None of us could handle Williams.
Scott sized up William. He was almost twice Captain Williams' size, and Captain Williams was no small man.
Not even you?
Nope. He got me just like everyone else.
Just like Ivan gets everybody in the 14th.
Speaking of that again, you got some babes in your unit, man.
Scott laughed. That comment seemed appropriate from someone like William. Jaden spoke for the first time. It was almost odd to hear his voice.
Man, are you right.
Scott cracked a surprised grin at the Texan.
Every woman in Eden is hot.
It's their bodies, man. All that exercise.
Beacon can tell you all about their bodies.
Or at least Svetlana's.
You're just jealous. All of you.
Hey, guys. What time is it?
Joe and William looked at their watches.
Oh, Vec, we gotta go.
What is it?
We got a meeting at 8:30 and it's 8:15.
Scott watched as Joe, William, and Cole pushed back from their chairs and picked up their trays.
It was great talking to you guys. Not a whole lot of Americans here, if you haven't noticed already.
Yeah. We're the only Americans in the 8th, and we're a pretty Americanized unit. I think the 14th is, too. How many you got in yours again?
Scott had to think about that one. Jaden answered immediately.
8, counting us.
Leave it to a sniper. Silence spanned the table for a second, and waves and handshakes were exchanged.
Great meeting you guys.
Same here. We'll see you around, right?
I'm sure of it.
It wasn't until the three men of the 8th turned to leave that Scott fully took in William's size. He towered above Joe and Cole as if they were children. He may not have beaten Captain Williams back at the academy, but Scott was sure it must have been one beautiful fight. Scott, David, Beacon, and Jaden remained in the cafeteria together for a good while as they talked about the conversation with their newfound friends. The murder rule was the primary topic. They found it astounding that such a rule existed, and more astounding that Eden did nothing about it. The entire atmosphere of Novosibirsk took on a darker, evil persona. No part of it felt more evil than General Thor. The hours that followed were spent in personal endeavors as they took valuable time to explore the base. If William was correct, they were destined for a fight later that evening. They weren't sure whether to look forward to that or not.